to you on the screen here, verse number 41. We're going to get there. We got a long way to go. We're going to skip over a lot. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared in them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it came from the Holy Spirit. This isn't a personal thing, okay? Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, as this sound the multitude came together and bewildered. So what happens is now it's a time when people are coming in. It would say around these holiday times that Jerusalem itself would have double the capacity of people. Double the capacity, if not more. So imagine Grand Rapids overnight having, 600,000, all of the areas around it having over 2 million people just overnight. Our transit systems aren't ready for that. Our restaurants aren't ready for that. I mean, okay, now nothing is, but think back to when life was normal, okay? So we're trying to go back there, but you have to understand, it would just be, so these guys are coming in from everywhere. Now, all of a sudden, these guys are filled with the Spirit. When you receive Jesus, when his resurrected life you're a testament to, the Spirit of God is within you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to open your mouth and talk. So as they go open their mouth and talk, the Holy Spirit is there. The Bible talks about, and this is why it's so key to say within the context of Scripture, someone shared a video online, I saw it, a guy was preaching, and he said, I watched it like 5 times because I'm like, this cannot be. He said what happened is that the size of the room determined the blessing of God on their life. So when you have a church building, solid rock, we're in trouble. We're looking for a better place because we can't all meet, but our ceilings aren't high enough. And if our ceilings were higher, when the Holy Spirit came in, it could fill, if we had more square footage, it could fill the capacity of our room. Because the Bible says that the Spirit came in and filled the whole room. And so if they had a bigger room, they would get more of the Spirit, okay? That's great logic if you don't have the Bible. Like, if we wanted to fill a room full of balloons, the bigger the room, the more balloons, correct? Okay? We're not talking about a kid's birthday party. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. So that has nothing to do with it. God's Spirit dwells within us. You can be in your house watching a show, reading your Bible on your own, and have just the Lord there with you, working through whatever it is. God dwells within us. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the places we meet. So these guys start to preach. As they start to preach, they get accused of something. So just because you preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit's within you, some people don't always receive your word. So here's what some people said. There's always critics out there, right? There's always people that will mock you. They'll take your words. They'll twist them. They'll go through. They'll say that they'll try to take what you... And the marking was to these guys is people got up and they said, here's the deal. They're just drunk. Now, when you're drunk, you're overwhelmed with something. It comes inside of you and it changes who you are. They're not drunk with an intoxication. They have the Spirit within them, which changes them. Okay? The Holy Spirit changes you. My buddy and I and my wife, when she left, we lasted like 10 more minutes. We're up till almost 3 o'clock in the morning last night. Okay? We were talking about things that if you had known the two of us 10 years ago, well, actually, it's more like 15 or 20 now. We're getting older than what we think. But if you had known us years ago, you could not have paid us to talk till 3 o'clock in the morning about the things of God. Because we would have ran out of stuff to talk about Jesus, like, in 5 minutes. All right? Probably would have consisted like this. Romans Road, pray with me or something, and then we're just done. Like, or whatever, you know? I mean, or we would make up something. We're just talking. We could have went back and forth. Finally, Philip says to me, he's like, listen, we can fix the rest of the world another night. We all got to get to bed. And then I was just up for a while, like, because we're talking about, listen, how does that happen? That happens because the Holy Spirit changes people, all right? That happens because the Holy Spirit makes somebody different. It indwells in there. So Peter finally stands up and he lets them know. He's like, look, we're not drunk. By the way, it's too early in the morning for that. Not that in America that would matter, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like for those men who are not drunk, it's like early in the day. So then he starts breaking down the Bible, the Scripture. The Bible is now revealed to them that with their eyes they can see what they could not see before. All right? There's a reason why your saved neighbor, when you walk over to him, your unsaved neighbor, and you walk over to him and you go, hey, did you know that the Bible says? They're like, so what? Okay? Does it mean that we don't love the Bible? No. Does it mean that we don't think the Bible is the Word of God? No. But to those that are blind, they can't see. So sometimes you'll have a conversation with somebody and they just can't see it. So now the scripture that these guys would read before a bunch of times when Jesus was resurrected changed everything. They can see it. So they're preaching the scripture. They're going through. Talks about David. Men of Israel, 22, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty words and wonders and signs God did through him in your midst, as yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the divine plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosed the pangs of death. Because of it, was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says this, and he gets into the scripture. Here's the thing. You say, did he really say that they crucified Jesus? Did you know the gospel is we all crucified Jesus? Okay? So when you got saved, it's like when someone said to you, hey, you've sinned. It was your sin that put Jesus on the cross. Do you know what they're telling you? Hey, bro, you're such a great dude that your sin put our Savior on the cross. He did that for you. Like, this is the gospel message. The gospel message is your sins crucified Jesus. He died for you. It's heavy. It's something that people have to understand. He starts quoting more scripture here. Again, I'm not trying to pass over this because I don't think it's important. It's just you guys don't want to be here all day, okay? I understand that. So, you know, we can talk about more of this stuff later. Read over it on your own. Work in your groups throughout the week, okay? And so he says, brothers, I say to you in verse number 29, with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and is buried and his tomb is with us to this day. He's letting them know. He's like, listen, we're worshiping people that have died. I can take you to their tomb. We're talking about Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. Verse number 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, Jesus in whom ye have crucified. Now when they heard these, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What must we do to be saved? Okay, here's what happens. When blind people start to come into the light, now it's like, hey, my hands are up. What now? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm open. Here it is. What's the next word? It says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and for whom our Lord calls to himself. And many other words were borne witness and continue to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Okay, so we finally made it up here. It wasn't as bad as what you thought it was going to be, right? So they received it. Here's the deal. Not everyone received. There are some people, I don't know why, you don't know why, they're just not open. They don't when they understand the true gospel, they don't. But here's the problem. What, when they raised their hands, was the word that was given to them the first thing to do? Repent. Okay? Repenting is a full change. That's what it is. Repenting is not, I told myself I wasn't going to get any coffees anymore from these coffee shops, so I'm just going to drink coffee at home, but I was late, so I'm not going to. No, it's I'm dead to that. I'm done. It's not, repenting is not the American diet system, right? Like, yeah, diet starts tomorrow. See him 3 days later. It's my cheat day. Shut up, okay? Right? Like, it's like, listen, you're not understanding it. Like, you don't understand the whole system. Coming from a fat guy, trust me, I get all of it, okay? I just want you to understand something, that the message is this. It's Jesus whom you crucified. That's the church's message. It's Jesus. It was about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years. I can't remember now. Time flies. But I remember getting my pastor to come preach at our church. I view him as my pastor, even though I get to talk to him all the time, Eric Capace. Okay, you have to understand something. The way that I grew up, to get who would be your pastor to come to your church and validate your work, that was like the greatest thing in the history of the world. Okay, there's no other way to describe it. So literally, I prepared for his introduction like I would a Sunday sermon. For like weeks and months, I'm like, I'm going to introduce this guy. I literally prepared harder to introduce a man. I gave like the most heartfelt introduction, loving introduction, lifted this guy up like he's my hero. Literally, I say this, God used him. Catherine and I would not be where we are if it was not for him. It was God that used him. So I do that. I get up. He gets up. He says, Nate, thank you. And then he says this, I just want to help correct you on one thing. Jesus is the only one worthy of our total praise. Okay? I'm like, dude, I just spent 6 months, like, we paid thousands of dollars to fly you here so I could, like, lift you up. And you're going to get up in 5 seconds and be like, hey, I appreciate it. I love you. I'm proud of you. By the way, that was a little over the top. Like, Jesus is the one we're supposed to lift up, okay? That's our message. It's Jesus. Our message when Jesus comes into you, which we're going to talk about in a minute, there's a full-on change. Now, here's the problem. We want to get into definitions of everything. I can't fully define a work of God. Here's how I define a work of God. I was blind, now I see. Okay? I was lost, now I'm found. Okay? I was dead, now I'm alive. What other explanation do you need? I can get into the details and we can talk about, hey, what if you sin? What if you do this? Listen, we're all going to make sin in our life. We know that. The problem is that what most people don't understand is we have made the gospel in America. Can I just share some stats with you? I'm not trying to get people to get worried, but did you know that over 70% of America today claims to be Christian? Over 50% of America has claimed at some point in their life to pray some sort of prayer asking Jesus into their life. 50. Okay? Okay, look. If in Grand Rapids alone, if half of the people that prayed and received Jesus repented of their sins, followed him in baptism, and did the works of Christ. We have so many churches. I told the earlier services, I'm like, hopefully this doesn't put us out of business. But we have so many churches, we really don't need any more in this city. But if all of the people that claim to be followers of Jesus actually were followers of Jesus, we wouldn't have enough. We wouldn't have enough buildings. We wouldn't have enough things. We wouldn't have enough homes. We wouldn't have enough of anything. Baker Bookhouse wouldn't have enough Bibles. We would not have enough. But what happened is somehow in America, we've equated Christianity with some sort of, honestly, I don't even know. I'd like to say we've equated it to sports, but I give more to my sports teams than most people do that claim to follow Christ. I do. I mean, when I found out that we can't even go to games this year, I literally, like, rent my clothes and put ashes on my face and went through the whole thing like Old Testament style, right? You're like, this can't be. Like, listen, there's something that works and goes. There's repentance. Because here's what it leads to. This is what I want you to understand. Verse number 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things common. Now, does that mean all things in agreement? No, but here's the thing. When we're in Jesus, here's what's crazy, okay? If I'm in Jesus, catch this, I'm in Jesus Christ. My neighbor is not saved, but we both vote the same way. A man from a communist country, North Korea, China, comes in. He's saved. Did you know that Nate, the conservative American, is supposed to have more in common with the communist Chinese person than with his conservative neighbor? But most people have more in common with their Republican neighbors who are unsaved than with their Democratic friends that they go to church with, or vice versa. Think about these things, okay? It's crazy. So all things common, all right? There's no way to get everyone to agree. There's no way to do that, all right? And they were selling their possessions and belongings, all distributing to the proceeds to all that they had in need. Now, we're going to go back. And day by day, attending the temple together, then breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Okay? Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day to those who were being saved. Now, I just want to ask you this question as we, why we came today. Did they do these things because this is what Christians are supposed to do, or did they do these things because that's what Christians already do because of what God did for them? Here's the difference that so many people miss. The church went from 100 people to 3,000 people like that. All of a sudden, these new believers, they've got all these needs, all of these problems. So what do? You teach, you show, they're growing in grace. But here's why they're growing in grace. Because someone handed them a church rule book and said, this is what how we conduct ourselves within the process of Solid Rock. So when you come here, this is how you know how to behave. No. This is who they already were because of the work of the God that was inside of them. I don't love the poor to get God's acceptance and feel better when I go home. I love the poor because God loved me and he reached out to me when I was poor and needy. So God's put me here to love those around me. I can't do it on my own. Like, even our system knows that. We can't make laws to love each other, so we make laws saying we won't kill each other. Okay? Like, I can't make a law saying you have to love me. I just have to make a law saying you won't kill me. Okay? These are things that you have to understand. So as you as a child of God, don't miss this. As you are saved, this is what it comes about, and this is what flows after that. All right? They sold their possessions, we see here. They sold their possessions and their belongings. Now, when we see this and we see distributing, we're like, in our American thinking, we're like, wait a minute here. So we're supposed to sell all that we have and just, no, that's not what it's saying. Okay? What it's saying is, when somebody else was in need, what I have didn't mean as much as what somebody else needs. Okay? Give me an example of that. Hey, your car broke down, man. Let me tell you something. I know that it stinks when cars break down. I've got 10 cars right now, and do you know how hard it is to keep all 10 of them running at the same time? I have to make sure that I drive them like different days of the week so they don't. What's the saying? My grandfather, I miss him every day. At his funeral, a man got up at one of his, he had two funerals, the second one I couldn't go to was far north of town. My mom told me this, and a man got up and said, I was Claire's neighbor, and when I met Claire, for the first time, I introduced myself, and he said to me, he said, how you doing? My name's Claire. I'm a blessed man. Just so you know, I got a garage there, and I got a garage here. Both of them that are full of tools that can fix anything that you would need to ever fix. He said, what's mine is yours. All you have to do is ask. Question. Is this mine, or is this God's? You thought I was going to say yours. No, that's not going to happen, okay? Is this mine, or is this God's? If it's God's, through the Holy Spirit working through my life, if I see a need, I can meet that if I'm able to do so. People ask this. This is why saved and baptized membership is so important for a church, okay? We talked before about what makes somebody a Baptist. If we were to go around this room and say, hey, what would make someone a Baptist, okay? What would make that happen? It'd be a variety of opinions. Tom Rainer did a thing a couple years ago that like broke my heart and made me almost instantly go, we need to rethink this. He said, what do you do when you think of the word Baptist? Legalist, traditionalist, you know, name stuff of the past, potlucks, which made me laugh. It like made top 10, you know, things like that. Here's the thing, though. What makes a Baptist is none of those things. A Baptist isn't even your theological doctrine. You can have a lot of theological viewpoints and still be a Baptist. Here's what makes a Baptist, real quick. Biblical authority. Everything's in the Bible. Baptists have a verse for everything, even if it's out of context, okay? Autonomy of the local church. That's what we have. That means this local body can fix all of its own problems, all right, through the power of God. Priesthood of the believer means you don't come to me. I'm not your priest. I can help you if you're overtaken in fault, but you take your sin to God alone. Okay? Two ordinances, which is baptism, Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper has been very difficult. Can you imagine that 8 months ago we were all putting our hand in the same cracker thing? Okay? Like, think about that. Like, don't think about that. But it's like, so Lord's Supper we're kind of trying to work through, all right? So that's a difficult one, all right? Baptism, Lord's Supper, all right? The eyes, individual soul liberty. You know what that means? That means that as I preach this word, everyone in this room has their own individual ability and soul liberty through the Holy Spirit of God to walk away with a different reaction. Do you know what scares people about that? Because of what I just said. That's what scares people. Because every single one of you can hear something differently than what I said or whatever. And people think this. They think if you don't control people, how do you know how they're going to act? Here's what I say. If they're saved, the Bible shares what they'll show and do. Okay, if I have saved people in my church, why do I need to control how they give and give of what they have to other people? Okay, so think about these things, right? The last, I'm going to skip over the S because I'm going to get back to it. The T would be the two offices, which would be elders, I believe plural, and then deacons. The elders are those who deal with issues of the word and doctrine, and deacons are those who know the word but are doing all of the groundwork. Okay, we see this pop up in Acts chapter number 6. This is very important. S. I love to burn stuff. You guys know that? Some of you do, some of you don't. I love to burn stuff. My parents had a bunch of old books that they wanted me to burn. You say, why would you burn books? Listen, there's some books you read once, you just don't want to read anymore. They make great firewood, okay? There was a church that we had known of years ago that had a booklet that they had kept, and the S in the Baptist for them was separation. Okay, I am not going to spend a ton of time. Here's what I'm going to say. If that is not in ours, and I'm going to tell you why it's not in ours, because if that was in ours, I would say separating myself from that. Christians are separated to God. They're not separated away from people. You say, well, did they mean it like that? No, because everything they said after that was telling me a bunch of things of why they don't associate with everyone in the world. Okay, here's the thing. Saved, baptized membership. Why is that so key? Because if you are not somebody that God has done a work in, and the evidence of that is your willingness to be a follower of him in baptism, okay, it's not that Solid Rock would not love you and would not let everyone come in, and I want to be careful how I word this. We want to preach Jesus, and we want Jesus to change everyone's life. But as a committed group of people, here's what we say. We want to be committed to Jesus and do this for each other. Once carnality comes in, do you know what you waste a majority of your time doing? Arguing over stuff that nobody even cares about, okay? Do you know how many times I have had conversations with people and I walk away and I'm not mad at them, I'm mad at myself. Because I think, Nate, why did you just waste 3 hours talking about a hymn from 19 whatever that you don't even know what the word means anyways, okay? Why? Because this is, I want you to understand something. So for us, that's what's so key that we go through. Because here's the deal. And day by day, they went to what? The temple together. So they went to their religious place. You could kind of call it the church or whatnot. They'd pray there a couple times a day, breaking in bread. Here's the key. This is where we're going to get to is Jesus blasts the Pharisees, okay? When they went to the temple together, then they went to the homes, they broke in bread, they received food, they were generous with each other. Here's what Jesus said, though, to people. How did the temple get taken care of? Jesus said this to the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and," is that cumin, cumin? I don't even know. "And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, those have you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Now here's the question. Did Jesus say you were wrong for doing this? No. Okay? Here's what Jesus said. He said, "You are so crazy. Let me break it down to you." And when you pastor a small church, you do a lot of things at first. Thankfully, I don't count the money anymore. I don't have to. But there were times years ago when I would count the money and I would see somebody write a check, $126.72. I remember I looked at that as a, what? First of all, this messes up our adding because, you know, I stink at adding. Second of all, why would you do that? Okay? You know what it was? Tithe mint, 10%. 10%. Question. People that are spiritually dead, that's what they do. They say, "Give me the rule, I'll follow it." if I can. If I don't like the rule, I'll just change it. Okay? Pharisees knew the Bible better than any one of us here, dressed the part, gave what they had to give to the point of down there, to the letter of the law, cutting plants. They would have attended every church service, and according to Scripture, according to Jesus, who called them hypocrites, when they died, outside of the ones like Nicodemus, they all went to hell. So if someone that's spiritually dead does that, why would I want our church to do that? Here's what Jesus says. He says, if you had done these without neglecting justice and mercy and faithfulness, do you know what you would do? You would be this person. You would be the one that's day by day breaking together of bread. You would be the one that's selling your possessions because they're not yours anyway. You're not just chipping off 10% of your plant. You would be the one that when you see a need, you meet that need. You would be the one that understands, I can't always, but I will at some point be able to help somebody else. You won't take away from what your family needs for somebody else because you have to take care of your family. But if you have a surplus and you see your brother in need, what are you doing? Can I say something? What kind of people would be in need? Look, you guys saw my son. That's difficult sometimes. Bub's in here. He's doing his own thing. He's kind of going on. My son is always going to be someone that is in need. He will. He will always be somebody that the church will need to step up. He's not going to be on an elder board. He's not going to be in a. He's not going to be that. He's always going to need somebody there to protect him. The Pharisees were more concerned about doing what they were supposed to fix the temple. Here's what Jesus said to them. He said, you blind guys, you strain at gnats and you swallow camels. You say, what in the world is Jesus talking about here? Like straining at gnats and swallowing camels? This was actually a hardcore burn, okay? What the Pharisees would do is they would take their oil or they would take their whatever they had, okay, and they would go through and they would strain it to make sure that a dead gnat didn't even get in their stuff, because how dare something that was dead contaminate what they have? So they would strain pitchers for gnats, and then they would swallow camels. They wouldn't even care about their brothers in need. They wouldn't care about justice and mercy and faithfulness. Here's what I'm trying to say. You can do this without this, but you can't do that without this, because what this involves is not just giving 10%, it's giving of all that you have when you see somebody else in need. That's the type of church that we want. You say, do you want a numerical church? Why do we want a numerical church? Why do we want a church that grows in numbers just for numbers' sake? It's actually not as hard to do as what you'd think. Do you know what's hard to do? Grow in grace, grow in love. Do you know the hardest thing I do in my life is show people grace? It's getting grace back from other people. It's so easy at times for us to just fall into this mindset and forget the fact of why we are here. We have a building fund. Can I tell you something? It's more important that we give to a brother in need who had an unexpected loss in his family. It's more important any day of the week you take from one to give to the other, because people matter more. Buildings take care of themselves. God knows. He'll use our people in some miraculous way to take care of our needs. But that only happens if you and I are open to the call that God already has placed upon us and open to share it and be somebody who is a vessel of that. You say, Nate, I am struggling to be one of these people. All right? The struggle is that you're wrestling with yourself and not giving it to God. Because when you give it to God, this is what God does through you. Well, I want to do that on my own. I just can't. I can't love people. Right, you can't. Okay? You can't. In my own flesh, when I drive by someone on the road holding a sign, I want to scream, get a job. That's what I want to do. That's I want to take somebody and yell at them. I want to. God says, I've done a work in you. When you get saved, this is what's going to happen. This isn't what you do to gain my acceptance. You already have my acceptance, and because of that, everything that you have, you are free to go and share with somebody else. When you get this truth, it will change your life. What truth is that? Accepting the salvation, working through it, and realizing we want to be people that this, we praise God and have favor with all people. And then God adds to our church. Now it all works together. How does God add to our church? We just sit there and say, well, God, no. Bible tells us, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Well, watered. Sorry, my King James is there. It all messed with my head. All right, it's just watered, all right? So I planted, he watered. But God gave the increase. This happened after Peter opened up his mouth. All right? God's doing great work within our church. I'm so thankful for it. If you have more questions about the work God's doing in you, I'm just trying to get you to understand this. You don't need some new book to read. You just need to bask and enjoy the salvation that you have, and God will do a work outside of you that will change your life and the life of those around you. All right? So thank you guys for coming today. Andy, you can cut me off there before we get to our special announcements that are secret. All right? So I don't know if they caught in time or not. Okay? So...